The DA last week won an important case against the IEC at the Electoral Court, ensuring that there are more voting stations made available to South Africans registered abroad. 18,469 South Africans living in more than 100 countries are registered to vote abroad. It's not just people who live around centres where there are embassies. Other people live in other areas where there may be a consular office. The DA had gone to the Electoral Court to force the IEC to open up those embassies and consular offices so that people could not be disenfranchised. Helen Ziller joins me now on the line. Did the Electoral Court, like the Zuma judgment, did they provide or did they not provide any explanation to their decision to order that the IEC make honorary consuls open for people to vote abroad? Helen, good morning.
Good morning, Lester. There wasn't any need to give reasons because the law is very clear. The Electoral Act says that people have the right to vote at all embassies and consulates abroad. So the IEC had interpreted that wrongly for their own convenience, but the interpretation of the law doesn't take much puzzling. It is very clear. And the court upheld the words in the Act. So the important thing then is that people have to be able to vote abroad at any consulate or South African mission or High Commission or embassy. And the IEC and the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, that we call DIRCO, interpreted that to mean only at places where they are what they call transferred staff from South Africa. And, of course, the Electoral Court took one look at the wording of the law and said, no, it doesn't mean that. And then we said, OK, they've got to now make provision for it. The problem is, and this is a huge problem, the deadline to notify the IEC on a VEC 10 form, which you can find on their webpage, is 22nd of April. That is Monday. And you've got to notify the IEC if you want to be voting abroad. And if they haven't made provision for all of the consulates and other places that people should be able to vote on election day abroad, then people will be deprived of that right in any case, despite the Electoral Court's decision. So we've been pushing the IEC very hard. We've sent them three letters now, asking them to tell us, please, what provisions they are making and by when they will make them. On that form that you have to fill in on their website, there's a drop-down box which tells you where you can vote in various countries, and they still have not updated that drop-down box. In Australia, the drop-down box still says Canberra, which is the capital, which is very remote. If you have to fly from Perth, for example, where most South African citizens in Australia live, it's a four-hour flight and a very expensive flight to go and cast your vote. So we have written to them and said, you have not yet updated your website. You have not yet made it possible for people to notify you where they wish to vote abroad, and you are not complying with the Electoral Court order. So we are pushing that very hard. We realize that the deadline is close, and we realize that the election is now very close. I think it's 35 days away. So it is hard to make the provision that they should have been making in terms of the law from the beginning. However, we have proposed that where we have had the greatest demand for South Africans to be voting from abroad, that they at least make provision for those places. And we've listed them in a without prejudice letter to the IEC. We say we realize it's an enormous challenge that you now have to face, but we will not oppose your leave to appeal, or we will abide by the outcome if you at least make these places where the highest demand exists available on election day to South Africans living there.
Because it appears at the moment it's a discussion that's really going nowhere between the IEC and DIRCO with regards to logistics and the cost of making a consular office available for a handful of voters, there's of course the theoretic conversation we could have. Do we put a price on a South African being able to cast their vote overseas, which is enshrined in our constitution? Do we put a price on people's franchise?
Well, you see, that's the point. And we've tried to make it easier for the IEC. We said we know it's a challenge. And these are the places, and we've listed the places. I think we've got 11 places where we've had the highest demand for people to be voting abroad. And we're saying, well, we won't fight you further, at least if you make the effort, at least if you open these places. Mm. But we've said that without prejudice, so that they can't come and use that against us in the future. We want all the consulates and embassies to be open to voters abroad. But for this election, we're prepared to say, right, in the places where there's the highest demand from South Africans living abroad, this is at least what you need to do.
I look at the contrast on how the US, for example, allows people living abroad to vote, mail-in ballots, early voting, a special parcel delivery service that where you could vote here, drop off, send into your consulate, and then that gets sent back to South Africa. South Africa still may be a long way before electronic voting, but is mail-in ballots possibly something that we're going to have to look at in 2034 going on this process, Ellen?
Yes, indeed. I mean, the IEC has only got one job, and that is to ensure that every registered South African voter is able to vote on election day in free and fair circumstances. That's the only job that the IEC has. It's a big job. It takes a lot of logistics. But they need to make sure that they deliver on that mandate. And DIRCO has to help them. So we're trying to make it easier for them in this election, but we're saying you cannot disenfranchise South Africans who are registered and entitled to vote.
There are 18,469 registered South Africans in the 2019 election. I think something like 75% of foreign-based votes, current cast votes, went to the Democratic Alliance. I have no quibble with the Democratic Alliance, you know, fighting for votes that it believes would go to them. But just to put that on record, with the 18,000 South Africans voting abroad, you expect the majority of that to go to the DA?
Well, this is a free and fair election, and people living abroad have the right to make their choice for when they want to return to South Africa, as most of them do, and for their family and loved ones living in South Africa. They want to vote for a better future, for good government, for everybody here in South Africa. And so it's not surprising that the vast majority of voters abroad do vote for the DA, because under a DA government, they'd all be able to live in peace and prosperity and growing employment and better education and better healthcare. That's what they want. And that's what we all want. And that's why we should all make a choice on a party's capacity to govern.
Really appreciate your time. Helen Ziller, your thoughts. Where will you be voting if you will be abroad? Voting for South Africans abroad take place on the 17th and the 18th of May, 10 days before our election year in South Africa. If you are abroad, where will you be? Have you tried to make arrangements or to plan your travels that you would be in a center where they could be close to a concert? Have you allowed and you've informed that embassy? There are 5,938 South Africans registered in the UK. In the Netherlands, 1,844. There are 1,068 in the UAE, 746 in Germany, 821 in the US. Ireland has about 670, China 515, Australia 588, only 314 South Africans registered in New Zealand, 219 Cuba, 284 in Portugal, and there are 280 South Africans registered in Belgium. 021-446-0567.